America. So there's no book here, so I guess they expect us to speak something productive about that. So the Acharya, he comes to a set example. Manu mentions the different aspects of authority, how to establish what is proper action. First then is the Veda. So anything that doesn't go back to the Veda basically is not important. It's that simple. Then the scriptures that are spoken by those ancients who followed the Veda, who studied the Veda, practiced the Veda in their life. So this is called Smriti. So basically, other than the four Vedas, all other literatures are Smriti. Then you have those in, you know, what we would consider more recent times, those who would be connected with us, that their lifestyle is what we're taking as example. So this is our Acharyas. And they establish what to do, because the situation that they're in is more close to the environment that we'll be in. So these three aspects taken together, this is authority, this is Shabda. And based on that, then we try to establish these practices in our life. Because the Veda is very broad, has so much information. So how to establish that for ourselves, that's important. That's what would be seen. So now, why would this be important? Why example? What's the importance? Example is important as we are in an environment that unfortunately is foreign. On one level it's foreign, on one level it's not. What we perceive, that's foreign. What we don't perceive, that's what's not. The material manifestation created by the Lord is here for the purpose of establishing a situation in which the living entity can again come back to Krishna. There's no other purpose. Living entity may find purpose, means living entity takes the material world as an opportunity to create adjustments in a stay in the material environment, so that his environment, so he is more satisfied, more happy. But unfortunately, that happiness is never actually obtained because of the temporariness of the manifestation. So this brings us to the importance of the Acharya, in that he sets example through manifestation. But that manifestation is to apply a teaching. So the teaching is what's actually important, and then forms that would be useful for the living entity, and how to apply that teaching are then given. That's why they're called Acharya. They set example. So this situations and how they respond in those situations then become significant. Unfortunately, because of being in the material environment, the living entity tends to think other things significant, because the temporary manifestation we have a tendency to take as very important, having great substance. So our particular variety of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, being performed in an environment of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, then whatever is creating or generating an emotional experience, especially a shared emotional experience, then we'll consider that important. But unfortunately, that aspect of the manifestation is always temporary. The eternal aspect of the Lord, having created the material environment, and that the Lord has entered into everything, and that the Lord is the interactive aspect of whatever it is that we are interested in, that's the part that's eternal, and that's the part that is unseen or unappreciated. All situations in the material world are simply an opportunity for the living entity to interact with the Supreme Lord. And this is not esoteric. This is bluntly direct. But unfortunately, because the senses are dulled by material association, we associate with dead matter, we become like dead matter, unaware, unconscious. So we're unconscious of how the living entity is actually interacting with God, not with the dead matter. The dead matter is there, it's a form, but dead matter does not generate any experience. It's dead, it can't do that. Right? Your table doesn't do anything. It sits there. We apply upon that table our value system. And so we say, it's a nice table, it's an attractive table, it's an expensive table, oh, it's an antique table, oh, it's a very practical table. All these different things we apply on the table. It's just something that sits there. Come back after some time and it'll have fallen apart. So we apply on it the qualities of importance. And then we get all excited about it. And we're unfortunately foolish that we think it's the table that's doing all this. But it's not. The table is a form through which those qualities can manifest. So that means that the material manifestation actually has absolutely no value other than the qualities that you can experience through interaction with it. That's it. It has no other value. Now, in that experience, you can either understand that that experience is coming from God, not from the dead matter, and be in transcendence, or be an illusion and think, no, the dead matter itself, the table itself is generating its beauty, or generating its importance. But it doesn't matter. Right? The rat will chew on a tomato and will chew on your Louis Vuitton bag. It doesn't care. To the rat, it's something to chew on. We put the importance. So, this is then where we see the significance comes in of the Acharya and the Vedas, is that what's going on in the material world never changes. It's exactly the same from one moment to the next, from one creation to the next. Nothing changes. It's still the soul, dead matter and God. There's nothing else. And so the relationship of the soul with God doesn't change. Dead matter and its nature doesn't change. The soul doesn't change. All that changes are the various manifestations that the material energy creates according to our particular desire. But the importance of it doesn't change. It's only important if it's connected to God, and if it's not connected to God, it doesn't have any significance. So when we, out of our illusion, create significance in the material energy, its importance, its necessity, its urgency, that's just illusion. That's us. Dead matter, it doesn't change. Right? It just sits there. Right? The Colosseum, it's still sitting there. At one time it generated so much significance and an opportunity for experience. And then, now it's still sitting there. And now it generates a different experience. Right? But it's simply a medium. It doesn't change. The point is that material energy does not change. It is a total illusion that we think it does. We think its importance changes. This is why there's the significance of the Vedic literatures and the Acharya. Because if it was so that material energy changes, then every moment would be different, and whatever instruction was there from the past, whatever example was there from the past, wouldn't apply, even if it was 5 minutes ago. Point is that material energy is changing, and it's significant, then anything you knew from the past has no meaning now, because it's different. But we're able to take experience and apply it today, it still works. Right? The concept of the stock market was created by the Romans. And one of the major ways that people observe the stock market and decide which way it's going to move is from something from the 16th century created by the Japanese in their rice market. Right? This candlesticks. It's from the Japanese rice market. It works. Apartment buildings were created by the Romans. Schools, you know, in the Western world, created by the Greeks. You know? What about husband and wife, children? We breathe air, we drink water, we eat food. How far back does that go? So this is the point. Nothing changes. It's always exactly the same. There's always God, the material energy, and the living entity. Nothing changes. The opportunity to serve God at any moment is still there. It doesn't change. We have to remember when we use the excuse, oh, it's Kali Yuga, we can't apply Krishna consciousness. Who created Kali Yuga? I mean, there are those who encourage Kali Yuga, of course, but who created it? That's God. So it functions according to His rules, not according to the foolish modern materialists. So this idea that the significance of the scriptures and of the Acharya changes and has no significance now. Oh, that was back in the 60s. Prabhupada, of course, could do that, but now you can't do that. That is for fools. And if you really want to get technical, that is for atheists. An atheist means he does not connect something to God. Atheist. It's not theistic. But everything is theistic. It's all God. When Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, I am everything, He means it. He's not just being poetic here. He means it. So that means then what is written in the scripture, what Krishna does, what the Acharyas do, They're as significant at this moment in time as they were before, 500 years ago, 5,000 years ago, and they'll still be significant in the future. There is no change. The Vedic concept is you have to take that and apply that to the situation. The situation is in the present. So that means if you're dealing with the present, you have to understand what is the present, what is so significant, what is its time, what is its place, right? What is the mood? And according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, decide therefore what you're going to do. That's time, place, and circumstance. So applying the teachings of the scripture, of the acharyas, into the present moment, that's Vedic. Right? That's what works. Modern means you talk about the past or the future. You're not in the present. So actually, even though they talk time, place, and circumstance, they're not applying it. Because this time is created by God. The place is created by God. The circumstance is created by God. And if we understand this, then at every moment we can be God conscious. So what Prabhupada did and what he showed will always be useful. It's a contemporary environment. And it goes on for a long time. Prabhupada said his teachings would be happening for 10,000 years. So that's the window. That's when the mood will be basically the same. So it's not that, oh, it doesn't apply. That's for opportunists, materialists, fools, the misinformed. Because God doesn't go away. If it's significant to you in your life, the significance is God. So now, how Prabhupada deals with those environments that are akin to our lifestyle, our environment, that's what becomes useful. It doesn't change. Prabhupada's determination to follow the order of his guru, it doesn't change. It's not that determination doesn't work now. No, it works. Determination is there. Why? Because that's the quality of God. And it can be applied. If God's eternal, that means his qualities are always present. And that means at any time you can interact with them. They don't go away. So his determination that he's given the order, and he tries to prepare, he tries to make it happen. But as you were saying, time, place, and circumstance, you deal with the present situation. And so the situation of him as a young householder, how he can dedicate his time to the order, how he can prepare. And so then he creates that. He tries to create an environment that we have literature, we're appreciated by the senior members of society. We have books, we have literatures, we have a society, an organization, so that people will take it seriously. Previously, something spoken that was of value was accepted. It didn't matter who you were. Even if you were a very elevated personality, if one of your servants made a good observation, the gentleman would take it. Oh, this is good. Because the spoken word had some value. People had enough character. In an environment where they have less character, then the word is written. Right? And then what's written should be applied. Just like what's spoken should be applied. So, Prabhupada then created these things. The idea that the modern environment, they appreciate this. Vedic cult always is established, but they wanted to establish and do it. Create it. It took years, but he did it. So this is determination. So now to have that determination, you must have faith. So Prabhupada had faith in the order. Others didn't. Right? When Srila Prabhupada was coming back from Bombay, with Bhan Maharaj or Sridhar Maharaj to visit Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, after Bhan Maharaj had just come back from Europe, then Prabhupada was asking, so how's the preaching there? And he says, oh, it's very difficult, you know, they have their ways and this, they don't know all these different things, and they ask questions that you just can't answer, right, because they have no background. So then Sridhar Maharaj would say, to ask Bhan Maharaj, okay, what's the point you can't answer? And so